Good morning, everyone. And how is everyone's day going so far? Keeping cool. It's a hot one this week, that's for sure. We hit 217, 117 yesterday. It's been hot for being a native of Arizona. Well, today I'm titling it Eating the Word. And so God is going to instruct Ezekiel that he needs to devour the word. And it kind of symbolically shows it as literally, but it's more about spiritually. And let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you, Father, so much for your word and for your word, Lord, that we can devour it. We can take it and become part of us, and that we can use it for our daily lives, just like food. And it's so important that we be in the Word every single day. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. I think that that's something that we all can get better at. I will say, though, that since I've been retired, that it's a little bit easier to find time to begin to get into the Word. So today we're going to take and continue on in this vision that Ezekiel's been having, where the Lord kind of showed him his power and his majesty. And now he's going to start working on him about what his mission is going to be going forward. And so we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday, Ezekiel 2:7, and go a little bit in about halfway through chapter 3. So I'll read through it like we've been doing. Get my little thing out here too. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. For they most, what we left off yesterday, by the way, is that God is now speaking to Ezekiel, and it makes it sound like that he was actually embodying him, like the Holy Spirit. And some say Ezekiel, I was reading one commentary that kind of compared Ezekiel to representing God as the Holy Spirit, whereas some of the other prophets like Jeremiah or Daniel, they come from a different aspect of God. Jeremiah was more like God as God, and Daniel as a son of God. Interesting correlation. I haven't quite completely looked into that myself, but I read it today, so it kind of made a little sense, but they call Ezekiel the Spirit of God, which is the would be the Holy Spirit. So between the three major prophets of this time period, and the other prophetic prophet that is really in play here, as we've been noticing, is that we've got Ezekiel, Daniel, and then Revelation at the end. The three probably most prophetic prophets of this. Of the Bible. So let's start back in Ezekiel 2:7. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. So it isn't a pleasant message. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, now we're in chapter 3, verse 1, eat thou that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause my belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of the Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech or of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not too many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words they cannot understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto me. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for thou wilt not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impotent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against thy faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. And go get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. So we're going to stop there. That'll be our, what we'll look at today. Get back to the beginning here, 2:7. So let's jump into the text. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear them or whether they do forbear, for they are most rebellious. Just a kind of refresh too, that I said that this is echoed by Jeremiah over in Jeremiah 26, 8 through 15. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, Thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Now this speech to Jeremiah was before the first siege in captivity. So that here Jeremiah is warning the people of what's in the process of happening. And so basically, God is going to send Ezekiel to do the same thing, to confirm what Jeremiah told them, but also to get them to realize the ultimate plan is that the people need to realize that they're going to be in captivity for a long time, and not to try to listen to this. We'll get to it in the next few chapters, but that basically that they're hearing a lot of false prophets are claiming, oh, God's going to take over and going to bring us back to our homeland. And God is basically going to send Ezekiel to tell them, no, that's not what's going to happen. You're going to be in this for a while. Finishing up in Jeremiah, when the princes of Judea heard these things, then they came up with the king's house unto the house of the Lord, and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, This man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your ears. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as you seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if you put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord has sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. So basically, the Jeremiah prior to this had already sent them to warn them that this is going to happen. And now he's going to send Ezekiel to kind of confirm it. And to further, the beauty of Ezekiel, as you're going to see as we go forward, is that it starts with this period of time of this captivity in Babylon, and it goes into the future, even into the millennial kingdom. So we're talking about this prophecy that Ezekiel gets over the course of the time that he is writing this book from God. is basically covering quite a few, quite a bit of time. So we're actually going to see a complete history of basically the Jewish people from beginning to end, all the way into the 1,000-year reign of Christ. It's going to be exciting. Ezekiel 2:8. Be thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. So basically, it's going to be eat. Whenever they say eat the word, it's talking about digesting the word of God and being able to keep it in your heart and take it into your heart and really put it to use. Some places we see this also in the Revelation 10:9. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall be make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. So the word of God is very sweet, but realize too that there's judgment in there. And that's what it means by a bitter belly in the case of Revelation, because that particular prophecy ended up talking about destruction. Also in Jeremiah 15:16, it says a similar thing. The words were found, and I did eat them, and the word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So we're supposed to take in the word and really enjoy it and digest it. That's basically what that what we're saying here. Okay, verse 9. When I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. Well, this hand kind of reminds me, it wasn't too long ago in Revelation we were talking about the hand of God, but also we're going to see it when we get to a study of Daniel, a famous writing on the wall, where we get the popular term today is the writing on the wall. But those verses of the hand comes in the question as over in Jeremiah 1:9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And also Daniel 5:5, this is what I was talking about the writing on the wall. In that same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. So that's the famous Daniel story of the handwriting on the wall. And ends up being that Belshazzar. He ends up being, it was right about that time that King Cyrus's troops were entering the city from the other end, and he was going to die. So back to Ezekiel 2:10. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Interesting term, within and without. Typically, papyrus was only written on one side, because the way it came out, it was very smooth on one side, but the other side was kind of rough to write on. So they only typically wrote on one side. So this term within and without shows up one other time that I remember, so I thought I'd mention it. It's over in Revelation when it comes to the scroll and the seal judgments, where Jesus is getting ready to open the scroll. And I was told there that the Jewish tradition at that time frame was that whenever a scroll was written sealed like it was in Revelation, and then if they wrote on the outside, it was instructions on what you had to do in order to open the scroll. In this case, one commentary thought that the reason they wrote on both sides is that basically God had a lot to say, and that it couldn't fit on one scroll, so I had to write on the backside too. But I thought I'd show you this Revelation one. That seems always kind of fascinated me. That they wrote on the backside, and basically this was the title deed of the earth, and the fact that the only person who was worthy to open the scroll was Jesus Christ, because he had died to save us from our sins, and thus he was able to open the scroll. And I saw in his right hand, on him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither upon the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Now, the difference in this particular case we're looking at, though, is that it wasn't sealed. That's true. But typically in that time frame, title deeds were typically done this way, where they were sealed, and that on the outside would be the requirements that had to be met in order to open the scroll. And also over in Ezra 3:1, oh no, I'm sorry, onto Ezra 3:1. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. And did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. So again, very similar to what we just read over in Revelation about, Jeremiah, about the word of God and eating it up. And some other verses that apply to this, I got a few. 1 Timothy 4:15 and 16. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that they profit may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear it. That was digest the word. Have it available to be able to share with others. Also over in Revelation 10, 9 and 10. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. I already mentioned this verse once about the fact that the word is so sweet, but the word can be judgmental to also. Also in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you rich in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whosoever ye do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. A couple of more words of wisdom. Also in Psalms 119:11. The word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So verse 5, Ezekiel 3:5. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech, and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. So this is Ezekiel's own people. So it wasn't going to be a language problem, as I'm sure that most of the captives in Babylon probably didn't speak the same language as Babylon did. I just thought of that most likely that people were confused. They were taken captive out of Israel and taken to Babylon. And I'm not sure how much they could speak. Now I know, because Daniel had to learn Chaldean language, which isn't Hebrew. A good chance that most of the people weren't fully understanding what their situation was either. So it might be what they meant by this particular statement, as it with him sending Ezekiel, at least they'll be able to understand him. Also in 3:6, not too many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou cannot understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. Here God is saying that it almost seems like that people aren't listening. It's not like he sent somebody that didn't understand what he was saying. He's comparing the fact that the people acted like they were hearing it from somebody who they didn't understand. But God has sent somebody who did understand and did understand, know their language. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and heavy-hearted. Reminds me of Jesus when he said this very similar thing. And when he came into the city as king on Palm Sunday, that's found in Luke 13:34. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And that sentence right there is the last time that Jesus spoke to the Jewish people while he was here on earth directly. He wouldn't end up being crucified the next day, or within a few days. And he's still waiting for them to call on his name, which will happen during the tribulation, to bring him back. Ezekiel 3:8, Behold, I have made thy face strong against thy faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thy ears. We see this also over in Proverbs 19:20 reflects on this. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter days or latter end. Under Ezekiel 3:11. And go get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. I couldn't help but think about this term. Many times I've heard people say that, boy, it seems like Israel just doesn't get it, do they? They never seem to learn. But the same thing could be said for this country. This country started out in we originally came over here in the 1492 and settled here, and that the Mayflower, particularly from my home state, came and settled in Massachusetts for religious freedom to be able to worship God any way they chose. And this country was founded on religious principles, and on the Bible. It's funny, I sometimes think about the fact that I like using the King James Version. And my particular family came over in 1635 and was shipwrecked off the coast of Maine. But most likely because the King James Bible was fairly new then, they probably were had that in their possession, being that it was actually written in 1611 and finished up. So by 1635, it was in print, and I can imagine that that's probably what my family had for a family Bible back then. But here we are in this day and age, 2021, and you sure wouldn't know that we're a God-fearing country anymore. So I think back to, I think about this particular time frame about the prophets, and it was only 400 or 500 years before this when Moses was bringing the people out of Egypt, and that he had these words to say. And the Lord said unto me, Arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for the people which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside of their way, which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. This is when Moses had gotten the Ten Commandments, and they were down in the party area having a big party and made a golden image, and they were worshiping the golden image. After coming through the Red Sea and all the things that that the 10 plagues getting out of Egypt and all the things that happened, It wasn't very long before they were right back into the worldly way of thinking. Well, I think the same thing can be said for a lot of us today, too, when it comes to this country. Couldn't help but think about that as a lesson for this particular time frame. And now Ezekiel is going to do the same thing. And this is about 600 BC. And Jesus is going to do it again at about 30 AD. And here we are in 2021, and we're still talking, still trying to convince some of these people that God exists. So it's funny how life keeps repeating itself. Anyways, that's all I'm going to do for today, and I will close with a prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for the words and for your promises to keep trying to convince us, and that we are a stubborn people, and so many of us just, including myself, I was turning to the worldly ways of thinking, and I'm trying my best not to now, and to look to you, Lord, and as all of us, I keep praying that you help me to stay strong in the faith, and that I keep looking to your wisdom and not my own. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. And I will talk to you again. Let's see. So today's Friday, so I'll see you again on Monday. And I will hope to see you alongside. Well, I'll be online in church Sunday at regular services of 9, 10, and 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And don't forget, we still got Vacation Bible School going on for one more. This will be the last day of Friday, 6:30 tonight. So I hope to see you all there, and have a great day. Love y'all.